Tonight we are here to look back at the crucifixion of Christ, which took place right around this night, 2,000 years ago. Of course, Jesus knew that he was to be crucified. He had predicted his death on several occasions during his ministry years. In fact, he knew the manner in which he would die, because he predicted that he would be crucified. This was not a surprise to him. It did not come as a shock. He knew what lay ahead for him. He knew what had to be done. He knew that if the curse of the fall of Adam and Eve was ever to be undone, he had to die on the cross as a substitutionary atoning sacrifice for sinners. This is because God had made clear, both to Adam and Eve and throughout the Old Testament, as it states in Ezekiel 18:20, the soul that sins shall surely die. Death was to be the consequence for sin. But not only does the Bible make clear that the wages of sin is death, but that the only means of escape from the penalty of sin is also death. Someone or something must die for sins. This truth is implied right from the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 3. Because we see there in the garden, after God finishes cursing the serpent and cursing Adam and Eve, we're told that God makes clothing for Adam and Eve from animal skins. Well, of course, in order to do that, God had to kill an animal. An innocent animal was required to die in order that God might cover the nakedness of Adam and Eve, and in a sense, hide their sin from his holy eyes. We see this truth again with the Exodus, where God commands the Israelites to slaughter the Passover lamb. Again, an innocent animal who has done no wrong. God commands that the Passover lamb be slaughtered, and that the blood of this animal be smeared over the doorpost of all of the Israelite families in order to escape the coming wrath of God upon the Egyptians. It's not as though God needed the blood there in order for him to be able to identify Jewish households from Egyptian households. God is all-knowing. The blood was not meant as a sign so that the death angel would know the difference between the Jews and the Egyptians. Rather, the lesson was clear to the Israelite people. Someone or something must die in order to escape the wrath of God. There must be the shedding of blood. This theme is seen again on the Day of Atonement in Leviticus chapter 16. Where the high priest is commanded to take the goat without blemish, to confess the sins of God's people upon the heads of the goat, and then to slaughter that goat, shedding his blood. And then he is to take the blood of that goat with him into the most holy place, the very throne room of God, where the Ark of the Covenant sits, and he is to sprinkle the blood of the goat on top of the mercy seat, atoning for the sins of God's people, and in essence, making a covering to hide sins God's people from a holy God. Death is the consequence of sin. But death is also the penalty that must be paid in order to escape the consequences of sin. So the message of Scripture is clear. Someone must die for sin. But it is also clear that the sacrifice cannot be a mere animal. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, we read these words: "But in these sacrifices there is a reminder of sin every year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." All of the animal sacrifices in the Old Testament could never truly atone for sins. They were never designed to atone for sins. They were simply designed to remind the people of God year after year, day after day, month after month, that you are sinful and in desperate need of a Savior. Not only that, but they could not atone for sin simply because sin was not brought into the world by an animal. It was not a lamb or a bull or a goat that caused the fall in the garden. It was humans who did that. And therefore a human must pay the price. And so we read in Hebrews 10:5, the very next verse: "Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired.'" Sacrifice, animal sacrifices, God the Father, I know you do not desire and you take no pleasure in those things. "Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me.'" Human flesh for one reason: to be the sacrifice whose blood would provide a covering for God's people to through the beating, the flogging, the crucifixion on a Roman cross. But it wasn't just the physical torment due to the Lord's Supper. He said to his disciples, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Understood that last night was Gethsemane. And there we're told from Matthew 26 that he says to his disciples there in the... He then walks away and he falls on his face. And he cries out. And everything inside his humanity was screaming, "I don't want to do this. I don't want to..." In fact, he is so stressed, according to Luke 22, we're told that he begins to sweat great drops of blood. Having grown up in Israel, he certainly would have seen crucifixions before. The Romans would hang there in agony for days, fire inside of Christ. But there was another desire that was battling within him. A greater desire that was battling his human desire. And that was the desire to not disappoint his Father. His desire to go through the will of God the Father. So then he's arrested. And all of his disciples abandon him. And then he has run through this mock trial where he is questioned and beaten and slapped and punched. Until his face is a bloody mess. And he is nearly unrecognizable. Eventually, they take him to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, telling him that this man claims to be a king. And thus, if you are a friend of Caesar, you must put this man to death. It's treason. He must die. And so Pilate has him flogged with a Roman scourge. And then he allows his entire battalion of soldiers to have their way with him. All 300 of them. And over the course of the next hour or two, they beat him, they kick him, they punch him, they take reeds from a nearby tree, and they beat him to within an inch of his life. All of this Pilate does in the hopes that it will be enough to appease the religious leaders and he can let Jesus go. So Pilate eventually brings him out before the crowd once again. And he attempts to set Jesus free. Their response? Crucify him! Crucify him! So he's made to carry his cross, weighing somewhere between 50 and 100 pounds uphill, to a place called the skull. And there they lay him down on a crossbeam, and they take three large nails that would have been the equivalent of railroad spikes, and they pound them into each wrist, and then they pound them into both feet stacked on top of each other. And they raised the cross and it was like a piece of meat on a hook. This would have caused an enormous amount of pain. And he hung there for 6 long, agonizing hours. 9 a.m. to 3 in the afternoon. But this was not the worst thing that Jesus experienced. Because what is interesting to note is that none of the gospel writers say anything about the physical pain that Jesus endured. They simply tell us what happened. He's flogged, he's crucified. But they say nothing about the physical pain or to describe the physical pain that Jesus endured. Cries out, "My God, my God." And many theologians like to refer to the fact that he is dying in fulfillment of Old Testament scripture. I honestly think Jesus was just crying out to his Father. Emotionally and spiritually is a person of the Godhead, who existed here, is experiencing something that he has never before experienced. And he is experiencing something that he never again will experience. God the Father. And it's killing him. This is what he did not expect. This is what he did not anticipate. The cross he knew. He was going to be crucified. He knew. But he had no idea what it was like to come under the curse of his only loving Father. It wasn't the flogging that killed him. Jesus died from a broken heart. What he did not expect was the spiritual and emotional pain of coming under the wrath, the anger, and the displeasure of God. Some of his followers then rushed to take him down at the cross, They secure permission from Pilate to take him down. They hastily wrap him. They hastily put some spices on him. They don't get the whole burial process complete because they just don't have time. They lay him next to him. Roll the stone in front of him. And then they depart into the darkness, making their way home, wondering, what does all this mean? How could it have come to this? The last 3.5 years have been such a glorious experience. How could it have ended this way? They were confused, saddened, grieved. The ministry of Christ, life of Christ on earth, ended in a way. There are not enough words in the English for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for your amazing love and grace and mercy. Last night of your betrayal, arrest, flogging, and crucifixion, and death. The amount of love that you have for your people, we are so undeserving of such grace. We thank you. We praise you. We love you. We adore you. We worship you on this night. We pray.